Hello, and welcome to the Ted Brower Show. This is your host, Austin Brower, again. I will be hosting tonight's show by myself. Ted is still over in Europe and basically doesn't have any type of worthy connection to Skype in with you guys. So it'll be me running the show, and then tomorrow he will be back on live with me from 3 to 4. Hopefully we should be able to get him for the rest of the week still while he's over there, but we'll play it by ear. And we appreciate you guys being patient with us as he's gone over there and I'm doing the show, and hope you guys enjoy it. Also, too, want to hope you guys had a blessed Thanksgiving. Hope you had a good weekend. We had a good response on the website from a lot of customers, a lot of emails, so we appreciate that. And like I said, if we hope you guys have any questions, give us a call. We'll be more than happy to help you out. We'll be open again tomorrow, you know, normal business hours again. But one thing I do want to ask everybody, you know, and it's majority of the customers that call in, we love talking to you guys. It's great. We get all kinds of information. We give you information. It's an awesome time. Occasionally, we do have some people call up that are just all they want to do is speak negative. And just bear with me for a second, because I just want to give you guys kind of an idea of where we're coming from. You know, we don't charge anything on the phone. We're here all the time to help everybody out. And when you call us up, you know, we want to do the best we can to help you. But we can't help you if all you want to do is speak negatively about yourself and about your family and about your life and about your finances and about your health. Remember, Proverbs 18:21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits." So understand that, I mean, if you are having health issues, if you don't feel good, if you're having financial issues, if you're trying to work through that, every time you talk, you say, "I'm broke, I'm sick, that's not going to work, blah, blah, blah," just negative, negative, negative. All that's going to do is put additional negative frequency in your life. And quite frankly, I've found it rare, if ever, that I've seen somebody that speaks like that on a regular basis that has any type of success in any area of their life. So do me a favor. If you guys call up, you know, we're more than happy. We obviously, stuff goes on, so we have to, you know, understand what you're talking about and things like that, but try and be positive, man. Try and have an outlook that's positive, because that's going to determine primarily how effective protocols can be as far as diet, nutrition, supplement, training. All that is going to be your outlook on it and the words you speak and basically what you project and what you want. And I'm not into the whole, you know, claim it and speak it. You know, I want that person's house, so I'm going to speak it and I'm going to get it. And that's getting a little bit bogus with that. But, you know, if you want something, you know, you always speak every day, "I'm in awesome health. I feel great. I have incredible energy. My finances are awesome. I do extremely well. I help tons of people in my job." You speak that every day, it will come to pass. If you speak the opposite of all those, it will also happen. So that's just a side note to start off. But we appreciate you guys. And if you ever need anything, you know, of course, just give us a call. One thing that I want to start off with, kind of a odd topic, but it's something obviously that's showing along the lines of where the moral decay is starting to become in the United States, and now that basically STDs now are basically climbing at a rapid pace in the United States, out of control, more than they've ever been in history. There's now 1.4 million reported cases of chlamydia. And gonorrhea has gone up 5% just from last year. Syphilis has gone up 15% from last year. And what's crazy is most of all gonorrhea and chlamydia infections were reported from 15 to 24-year-olds. So, I mean, we have to start trying to make the younger generation below us understand that the true prevention of STDs, now don't get me wrong, you know, safe sex, condoms, obviously, that's a very, you know, important aspect of it. But abstinence, man, not being, going out and running around and sleeping with all kinds of people. Teaching young people the commitment of, you know, loving relationships and setting new principles and intimacy and becoming, you know, having a relationship with somebody instead of just bouncing around. And also, too, you know, I talk about it with health, get blood work done. Quite frankly, you're being neglectful if you don't. If you've engaged in that type of activity in the past and you've never had blood work and you don't know if you're carrying anything, that's really negligent on your part, especially to your future spouse or anybody else that you may encounter. You really need to have blood work and understand what's going on in your system and what you could have been exposed to so you can try and at least do something to prevent it from escalating or to prevent the infection to somebody else. That's just a side note, and you know, like I said, same thing goes with health as far as getting your blood work done, seeing what, you know, your liver values are, seeing what your cholesterol is, seeing what, you know, all kinds of other areas, hormone levels are. Get it done at least once a year. It doesn't, I mean, you can get it done very cheap. There's places online you can go and you can get on coupons and buy it, and you can get it done at a company called LabCorp. I know they do that down here in Florida. You can get like a full spectrum blood panel test done for like $100-$150 with a coupon. So people always say, well, my insurance won't cover it unless my doctor. Your doctor doesn't need to do this. You can do it on your own. In other news, basically we're seeing that Putin and Turkey and NATO and Holland and America, everybody's starting to get a little hostile and escalating about this Russian jet that was taken down. Putin's obviously not taking this lightly at all, which I can't blame him. The invasion of the airspace has been rebuked now by Russia, which is claiming that the airbase radar shows the attacking Turkish plane violating Syrian airspace now, which means that he clearly went out of Turkey to engage this target from Russia that was in Syria, that he basically had no business engaging. The original reports that he was, you know, in Turkey territory for like 17 seconds, the Russian plane went through regardless. But now they're also saying that from the recordings and from what they've seen, the Turkish fighter jet made no attempts to contact the Russian pilot before attacking him. They said, we assume the strike was carried out with a close-range missile with an infrared seeker. The Turkish jet made no attempts to communicate or establish visual contact with our crew that our equipment would have registered. The Su-25 Russian jet was hit by a missile over Syrian territory. And now Lieutenant General Sergei Ruchkov said during a briefing today that we warned that every target posing a potential threat will be destroyed. They've moved the big guided missile cruiser Moskva, which is similar to the S-300, and it's deployed now over by the off the coast. All military contacts with Turkey will be suspended, he added. The Russian Minister of Defense explained, going forward, any Turkish plane that enters Syrian airspace will be fair game. This is pretty serious because the hostility level just jumped up about 50 different levels really quickly. So this is something that, like I said, everybody's watching. I like to see both sides of it. Obviously, if you look at CNN, you know, I read an article the other day just for giggles to see what they were saying about this situation. And it was so biased towards Russia as far as, like, Turkey did all this and they did that. And the Russian jet was unresponsive and he wouldn't respond back to him. They gave him, like, 12 warnings. He was flying around in their airspace just being neglectful. And apparently that's not at all what happened. So you gotta be careful what you listen to. Also, other news you've seen about this crazy guy out there in Colorado, the shooting with the Planned Parenthood thing. And, of course, Obama on Saturday now said that we need to have tighter gun controls on the weapons of war. I was like, he always comes up with these crazy phrases. You know, I love, like, the common sense gun laws. We have to have common sense gun laws because we don't have common sense gun laws now, apparently. And these weapons of war, they don't even discuss or have disclosed what weapon this guy even used in there, if he was even targeting that area. What's crazy is that I was reading earlier now is that the shooter was self-identified as a female on his voter registration. And also, too, from what I've looked up today, so far we can't find anywhere that he has been active in any type of pro-life activities. They've already gone out, you know, demonized him. He's a pro-lifer, you know, terrorist, this and that, you know. And, I mean, I don't understand anything that doesn't make any sense because nothing even fits the narrative with this guy. But what's even crazy about it, and like I said, I'm not condoning what the guy did because he's a complete and total nutbag, but you have to look at, again, like I was talking about earlier, the negative frequency you put out, whether it's with your actions or your words. Planned Parenthood commits violence every single day against newly or nearly born children by killing them during partial birth abortions to harvest their organs. Now, if that's not sadistic, I don't know what is. The fact that America even allows this and think that it's acceptable behavior is unbelievably egregious to me. So when something like this happens at a Planned Parenthood office, my response is, well, you shouldn't be engaging in that type of sadistic activity. I mean, if you really think that you're going to act like that and do those things and engage in that activity and you're never going to have ramifications for it, I mean, you're living in a delusional world. I mean, it's so sick what they do in these clinics. I mean, it's disgusting, some of the videos that I wish I'd never even seen. And so, I mean, when stuff like this happens, it doesn't surprise me at all, especially at a place like this. But it's just funny how they always flip the narrative to this, you know, gun-toting, crazy, domestic terrorist who's a pro-lifer. They always try and do that. They don't bother to bring up that there's already been 2,700 shootings in Chicago this year, which is one of the most tightly gun-controlled cities in America. Always understand, guys, every single country that has pretty much banned guns or confiscated guns has always had some type of mass shooting event that triggered the gun confiscation. Look it up. Almost every single country. And you have to understand that governments, by their very nature, almost always devolve into tyrannical entities that oppress their citizens. Look it up. You can look it up for the last couple thousand years. Doesn't matter how good, how great, how basic, how simple they started, they almost always devolve into a tyrannical government, almost every time. So when you start hearing this propaganda about, you know, we don't need to have weapons of war, well, neither does the federal government then. Neither does the police department. If we're going to ban guns as a whole, we're going to make the world a safer place, then we just need to ban everything. Every single person, law enforcement, military, the whole entire world needs to be disarmed. But see, that's the silliest idea in the world, because you couldn't possibly do anything and prevent violence from doing that. That's what nobody understands. Like I mentioned a couple weeks ago, it doesn't matter if it's a sword, a gun, a knife, a club, a rock, a stick, you know, a baseball bat. Anything is a weapon. Anything can be considered an assault weapon, regardless of how, you know, it's used originally and what it's made for and its intended purpose. You can still inflict harm on people. The Romans didn't need guns back in the days. They didn't need, all they had were swords and knives and spears, and they inflicted a great deal of harm on all types of people around the world, especially when they started going and, you know, spreading out their empire. So you got to understand that. And what's so stupid now is, you know, with Obama, oh, we need to stop the weapons of war. I mentioned this earlier, and I'm going to reiterate it again, because it's really, people really need to understand this. Every time you hear these gun-bashing idiots talk about banning guns, policymakers, lawmakers, pretty much almost everybody worldwide agrees that the proper response to drunk driving is to focus on crimes of driving recklessly while impaired and prevent those people from operating their vehicle in an unsafe manner again once they're caught. Anyone who has a history of abuse of alcohol and has been charged and is found guilty is barred from engaging in further risky behavior. But everyone else is still free to buy alcohol in whatever amounts they choose until proven guilty of an alcohol-related crime. That's simple. You're innocent until proven guilty. The response to gun homicides, on the other hand, is to restrict access to guns for everyone without any due process first. This is completely against what our entire judicial system is based on. You're innocent until proven guilty. And what's interesting is, you know, alcohol-related deaths because of drunk driving alone was a little over 10,000 a year on average. The number of gun homicides on average is a little over 11,000. So these are very similar related. Both the numbers are extremely similar. So you can't say that, you know, gun crimes are way higher than alcohol-related drunk driving deaths, because they're not. So, I mean, it's the simple act of there's one crazy guy that goes into a Planned Parenthood. We don't even know why he's there. He doesn't even seem to be a pro-lifer. He says he's a female on his voter registration, which that whole thing's odd to me right there, because, I mean, there's a whole lot of stuff going on that doesn't even make sense about that. So just be cautious. Understand that whenever they do reach a point where they're saying that guns are going to be confiscated or you're not allowed to have access to this, or even Colorado already has a couple different firearm restrictions, including universal background checks and 15-round mag capacity restrictions, which is the stupidest thing ever. Then, I mean, it doesn't even make sense to me. Magpul, the company that basically created the PMAG, the 30-round magazine for the AR-15 platform, that is an incredibly robust, solid magazine. I love them. They're super cheap, they're super light, and they're super strong. They actually had to move out of Colorado as a response to that because their primary selling product that they sell is a 30-round PMAG. Now they're selling a 40-round PMAG, which is also awesome. But they left. They left Colorado. They said, we're not going to conduct business in basically a state that thinks we can't allow our citizens to own magazines that law enforcement, military, everybody else has. You know, we're not even talking about machine guns or, you know, destructive devices. We're talking about magazines, plastic magazines to feed ammunition. So that whole idea is just, it's ridiculous whenever they bring it up. In other news with GMOs now, Monsanto in 2008, you guys know, they introduced non-GMO, or they introduced, excuse me, GMO beets. Farmers began counting on increased yields and reduced costs. Now they face record low sales of GM beets as American consumers demand non-GMO food. This is awesome. For the last couple of years now, we've been carrying a product. A lot of you guys have tried it. It's awesome. It's a organic non-GMO beet juice powder. And they're actually, it's one of the only left certified U.S. Non-GMO beets in the country. And they basically run it through a cold process system that breaks it down into a crystallized form. There's nothing added to it. There's no stabilizers. There's no synthetics. There's no colors. There's no flavors. It's straight up organic USDA certified non-GMO beet juice powder. Really good for healthy blood pressure. Really good for liver and kidney detox, and it also really helps out with energy and with pre-workout supplementation because it helps out with nitric oxide production. Really awesome product. If you guys are ever interested in it, it's a lot more cost-effective, easier to use, and simpler and cleaner overall than having to cook a lot of beets, and they're not heat processed, so you retain a lot of the really, really important nutrients and enzymes that are in beets that make them so awesome. Also, too, now, Kellogg's sales have plummeted again. As consumers continue to shun Kellogg's for contributing to the Grocery Manufacturers Association, which I discussed that last week, they're like massive contributors to Monsanto and the entire GM movement, and also putting genetically modified ingredients in the foods that it offers, sales are plummeting again. Total net sales for Kellogg's fell again by 8.5%, which amounts to a continued nosedive. This makes the eighth decline in the last nine quarters of failing profits. In response, the company is trying to win back consumer approval. This is awesome. I love this one. By saying that they will stop using artificial colors and flavors by 2018 and only cage-free eggs by 2025. Cage-free eggs. Not even organic, just cage-free eggs by 2025. 10 years from now, which is a total and complete crock, because obviously if they're using eggs in production for stuff like maybe their waffles, something like that, how many eggs do they have on hand? Do they really have 10 years of, you know, just standard eggs on hand for that? No. They're being completely ridiculous. This is all a front to try and get people on board with Kellogg because they've gotten so much negative publicity because they're massive GM supporters. It's basically nobody wants GMOs anymore. And so they think that by telling people a couple of these, like 2018, no artificial colors or flavors, how about you take them out this year? How about you start using cage-free eggs this year? How about you cut GMOs out by 2016, 2017? That would make sense. And it's crazy, too. A new study in Journal of Obesity Science and Practice now points the finger at only calorie consumption as the main leading cause of obesity. Now, granted, this is partially true. The caloric intake of what you eat directly affects a lot of times your body mass. But what they go in here is they completely eliminate and try and make it that fast food, junk food, sugary foods essentially have no impact on people being obese, that it's all just because they're eating too much grains and fats. Look, this is great. According to the data gathered by this survey, people in the healthy BMI range averaged 1.3 sweet snacks every 2 days, while overweight people only ate 1.2 sweet snacks every 2 days, and supposedly obese people only ate 1.1 sweets in the same two-day period. Now, obviously, this is complete and total crock because there's two blatant issues with using this data. First is they were using self-reporting with almost all these, which is terribly unreliable because a lot of people, A, they're going to lie, B, they don't monitor that much, or C, they flat out just don't even know, so they come up with numbers. The second would be people with healthy, you know, in BMI ranges, you know, fairly lean, good shape, tend to be more aware of what they eat. So, yeah, they may have eaten 1.3 sweet snacks every 2 days while they're eating, you know, their broccoli and chicken every single day. But what's funny is obese people usually tend to lack awareness of what they eat. Majority of the time when I talk with people that are obese, they usually don't even have any idea of the calories or what they're eating. And that's generally how they become obese and why they have a harder time maintaining weight loss efforts. And it's also found, they found this, I don't remember the research study, but they found a lot of times in self-reporting data, when they work with obese people, they're much more likely to underreport what they eat because they don't want to tell people what they're eating. And Ted's talked about this before, and so have I. You know, we've asked people, you know, you're okay, you're, you know, 350 right now. We want to get you down to 220. You know, what was your food intake today? Oh, today I had, you know, a waffle for breakfast, and I had a grilled chicken salad for lunch, and that's all I've eaten all day. Now, that may be all you've eaten all day, but don't sit there and try and act like that's all you eat every single day, because you're not going to stay and maintain that type of weight eating that low of caloric intake. But they go on to say in the survey that the increase in obesity is due basically completely to grains and fats that are too high in the diet. And they don't mention anything about high fructose corn syrup or junk food in here. To assume that junk food doesn't play a role in obesity is completely and totally negligent in this study. All this is a prop story to try and make people feel better about eating junk food and not eating healthy food. And the thing is, portion size is a discerning factor. Caloric intake is a discerning factor. There's no question about that. But you can't sit there and say somebody that's eating even a large quantity of food, say 4,000 calories a day, and they're getting it primarily from organic chicken, sweet potatoes, and green beans, and they're eating 6 to 7 meals every day, and they're in, you know, the 600 to 700 calorie meal, working out in decent shape, and they're eating 4,000 calories. The next person's having 3 steak and shake milkshakes and 2 triple cheeseburgers, and that's their 4,000-calorie meal for the day, probably a little bit higher than that, actually. I'm just estimating. They're two completely different sets of food, so and they both have the exact same calorie intake, so to speak. If you put them on paper and broke it down, you're looking at what the nutrient density is, what the sugar content is, what the high-fructose corn syrup content is, what the fat content is. So that's just an interesting article I wanted to share with you guys on that. And another one, it's kind of sad, actually, but it's really interesting to kind of understand a little bit more, too, why I think we're starting to see a massive rise in a lot of these health concerns, especially among children, because we know, you know, pretty much a lot of the food stamp benefits, a lot of the government subsidies that they help out with, most of those people don't try and buy organic. They're trying to make ends meet. They're trying to get as much food as they can for their family on a budget. So they're generally not going to go for cleaner foods and non-GMO foods. They're going to go with more, you know, cheaper foods that last longer, which is, I mean, it's understandable at that point if you're in that position. But this kind of sheds a little bit of light on it. Children under the age of 18 in the United States in 2014, now the numbers have come out, 15.9 million kids, or 21.6% of the children under the age of 18, were in households that are receiving food stamps, according to the data released by the Census Bureau. The number of children receiving food stamps remains higher than it was before the start of the Great Recession in 2017. That's what they're referring to now, I guess, is the Great Recession. What's crazy is, as of August this year, which is the latest month on record, there were 45,400 million beneficiaries in the food stamp program. I mean, that's a large percentage of the population, guys. I mean, we're only looking at, what, 315, 320 million here? I mean, you're talking 45 million are on food stamps? That's a serious issue. And I mean, what's even crazier is in fiscal 14, according to the department, the government paid out $69.9 billion in food stamp benefits, and the total cost of the program was $74.1 billion. So you guys got to understand, if you do have the ability, if you are having to get help from the government, do your best to try and get clean food. I know you have to stretch it out a lot of times, and I understand that, but you have to do the best you can to keep your kids away from a lot of this just critically contaminated, toxic food now that they're putting on the market. And speaking of that, goes into my next story of the GMO salmon. I just thought I had to bring this up because I thought it was so funny. The Senator Richard Blumenthal, name here, from Connecticut, is now joining consumer groups very weary of the genetically modified fish. He stated last week that "I strongly believe that the consumers have a right to know about the labeling of the GMO salmon." Because as of right now, the Aqua Advantage salmon that I talked about, I think it was Friday from last, how the FDA approved it now, there's absolutely no labeling requirements, and there's not been any substantial long-term health benefit studies or health test studies on human beings of eating Aqua Advantage GMO salmon. What's this? The best part, I found this article, Cindy Tyann, a professor at the University of Connecticut's Animal Science Department, this is what she argues, that labeling GMOs would scare the public away from an extensively studied practice, and that the internet is full of information about GMOs causing cancerous tumors and other health concerns. She claims that there isn't a single study proving this to be true. Really, there's not a single study. Not a single one. Okay. Well, here's just a couple that I just printed off right here. There's actually numerous studies which prove not only GMO crops, but the pesticides and herbicides like the glyphosate used to grow them causes an immense amount of health problems, including cancer. Published in the Food Chemical Toxicology, one study articulates how glyphosate causes human breast cancer cells to grow by interfering with estrogen receptors. Another study conducted by Gillis Aris Seraline was forced to be retracted from one journal and then was republished in an Environmental Science Europe. He found that rats fed genetically modified maize developed multiple cancerous tumors. Another one, American Academy of Environmental Medicine, expressed concerns about GMO foods, citing animal studies which showed altered structure and function of the liver, oxidative stress, intestinal damage, increased cell growth, disruption of the immune system, and 400 gene expression alterations. Okay, so there's just, I mean, this is just a couple of them on here. Here's another one. Canadian research published in the journal Reproductive Toxicology identified the presence of Monsanto's toxin and other pesticides associated with GMO crops in fetal and non-pregnant women's blood. According to the study, the fetuses were considered to be highly susceptible to the possible effects of xenobiotics. And there's another one, an Italian study, Tustico 2015, by Dr. Judy Carmen. Pregnant goats were fed a diet of strictly GMO Roundup-resistant soybeans and were directly found to produce less nutritious milk and give birth to offspring that grew slower and were shorter. But wait a minute. Cindy Tyann, the blithering idiot professor from the University of Connecticut, said, "There's not a single study proving anything to be true about GMOs being toxic in any form." Yeah. Do your own research, guys. When these people spout off this absolute blithering idiot rhetoric about, oh, there's nothing wrong with GMOs, do some research. There's way too much information now on the internet, way too much information that's come out now that's clearly indicating this is a serious problem. Now we even have two-thirds of member states in the EU have already banned the production of GMO foods. Now Hungary and Austria are now looking for more strict regulations of GMO labeling. Imported food and feed could contaminate the country, which has essentially been declared GMO-free. Just last month, Hungary submitted a petition to have eight GM crops, maize varieties, banned that have been given production licenses in Hungary that they're basically trying to get rid of now. So you guys got to understand, this we're not the only ones here talking about this. This is a serious issue. GMOs are a serious issue, and the problem is with the high fructose corn syrup, almost 100% made from GMO corn, is contaminating even everything further because they put high fructose corn syrup in almost everything, including sodas, which are a huge usage in the United States. And energy drinks also use, a lot of times they use high fructose corn syrup in them, which gets me on to my next article. Now, I know you, a lot of you guys like your energy drinks, but you got to understand, A, most, almost all energy drinks, excuse me, I'd have some water there, I'm getting thirsty. Almost all the energy drinks at the store are aluminum cans. It etches aluminum into the water. It leaches it in the water, and then you drink it. Don't drink out of aluminum cans in general. That's just the first thing. But secondly, there's a new study published in JAMA Reports on what basically energy drinks do, just an unbiased study on what they do when you put them in your body. The study looked at the effects consuming of just one 16-ounce can of a leading energy drink on a what it, basic vital functions of the body. Here's a few things. Now, you guys always ask me about why is your blood sugar so high, blood pressure so high. I ask you, what was my first question when people call in? Are you using any caffeine products? How much water are you drinking? First two questions I ask. Right here. Blood pressure jumped an average of 6.6 points within the first 30 minutes of consuming the beverage. This was done under no exercise, no strenuous activity. Just drinking this drink, blood pressure went up an average of 6.6 points immediately within 30 minutes of drinking it. Also, norepinephrine, which is stress hormone, which is basically, you know, adrenaline, increased by 75%. And obviously, we know that norepinephrine increases the production of cortisol, which is also a fat-storing hormone. What you have to understand, guys, is that these energy drinks are marketed to make them look cool. They're marketed by these motocross riders, race car drivers, Formula One, all across the board. You always see Monster Energy, Red Bull, all of them. You guys know them. And most of these energy drinks are just overpriced sugar bombs with a ton of caffeine with a big obnoxious label. Have you noticed that the labels just get more and more obnoxious now? It's like, who can have the most obnoxious label that catches your eye when you walk past it? And what you have to understand is that most of this, you're getting dehydrated when you drink it. You're just tapping your adrenals when you drink it. You're adding in a ton of sugar, which is going to increase your insulin spike, which is going to make you store even more body fat. And on top of that, when you get dehydrated, that also, too, is going to cause you to burn less body fat. So energy drinks really don't do much of anything. Now, everybody's going to come back and say, well, what about the sugar-free ones? The sugar-free ones have aspartame or sucralose in them. I don't even know what's worse, having your insulin spike or putting some toxic element like aspartame that's known to cause brain cancer, or sucralose, which causes kidney failure and all types of intestinal discomfort and intestinal health, almost completely kills off all the positive bacteria. I don't know, you pick one. You want to get fat from insulin, or do you want to lose all the positive bacteria and wreck your kidneys, or get brain cancer? Pick one, or just stay away from them. There's a product we have called Purple Sticks on the website. They're out of stock right now. We should be getting more in next month. It's an incredibly good product, really good energy supplement. Has, you know, natural methylcobalamin B12. If you're not even into that, you just want some supplemental, the B-complex we carry, or the sublingual B12, or the ultimate multiple, or all three of them together are great. Really help out keeping your mineral and nutrient balance, and also increasing your B vitamins. Remember, B vitamins are water-soluble. If you're not getting additional B vitamins on a regular basis, you're going to be flushing them out of your system. So you've got to take in additional B vitamins. The B12 and B-complex are great supplementation. And again, guys, this show is provided to you by healthmasters.com. We also have a special still running right now for Thanksgiving weekend. It's going to be ending tomorrow. It's Thanks 2015. It'll get you 10% off any normal products. Any three-pack specials or kits are not going to be eligible for that because they're obviously already on discount, but it'll get you 10% off anything else. So that's just an idea. If you're interested in trying something, it's a great time to get it. Anything over $100 gets free shipping as well anywhere in the United States. Now, last week I also mentioned that we're starting to see a very significant issue of the increase in antibiotic resistance. Now, this just came out. This is really, this is serious. The day that doctors, scientists, and health experts have long feared and continually warned about has arrived, as a mutation discovered in people and livestock has been found to make bacteria resistant to all antibiotics now. A gene known as the MCR1 is becoming more common in bacteria found in China. The mutation allows bacteria to resist a group of harsh antibiotics known as polymyxins, specifically a drug called colistin. That's C-O-L-I-S-T-I-N. Colistin is considered the absolute last line of defense against bacteria when all other antibiotics have failed, but not even it can knock out the newly discovered pathogen. These MCR1 genes are basically invincible, and they could theoretically end up infecting all infectious pathogens. Now, what you have to understand is, as of right now in the U.S., we have not fed colistin to livestock in mass yet, but an estimated 70% of our antibiotics considered vitally important to human health are used in farm animals, and one day we'll likely need drugs like colistin to fight previously easy-to-treat bugs. You have to understand, guys, that right now about 700,000 people worldwide die each year from antibiotic resistance, from not being able to kill off something because their bodies are so antibiotic resistant. A lot of this is from the foods. A lot of this is from the overuse of antibiotics. A lot of this is from all the milk with the antibiotics. This is why I've told everybody repeatedly, over and over and over again, if you can't get, you know, organic meat, like chicken, beef, turkey, do whatever you can, the absolute best bare minimum, to buy beef, poultry, any of this without antibiotics. Make sure it's certified without antibiotics, guys. This is really important. The organic's the best because you know it hasn't been fed GMO food. However, you have to understand that I understand that a lot of people cannot afford that because a lot of times USDA certified organic meat is very expensive in some areas. Sometimes you can find deals, but a lot of times you can still find non-antibiotic, non-hormone chicken and beef that's still grass-fed for a decent price that's not extremely outrageous, and it's really important, guys, if you're going to get, especially the cage-free eggs, too, the organic, or try and buy organic eggs. I always say buy organic eggs because they're not that much more expensive. I mean, the regular eggs, these chickens are pumped full of so many different hormones, it's ridiculous, and antibiotics. Try and stay away from them. One thing that I haven't mentioned, it's a completely different topic, is the drought out in California. I've been talking to numerous people, and they're saying that it's becoming worse and worse and worse. And now what's happening now, I'm being told, is that the state's complex water management system has created a serious issue where individuals who have cut back are still being fined for the overuse of water. It's becoming harder and harder. There's a report, Debbie Alberts over there in Apple Valley, despite having cut her water use by more than half this year, told the New York Times she still pays hefty drought surcharges on a water bill that routinely reaches hundreds of dollars. Alberts' bill included a drought surcharge of nearly $80 last month, putting the total bill above $330. That's enormous for just a water bill. That's not even electric. That's nothing. That's just her water bill. So pray for the guys out in California. They definitely need rain. We know a lot of the guys out there, the real wealthy areas, they don't care, obviously. They just pay the fines. But the issue with the fines is it does help to decrease a lot of the water usage, but it's still not obviously fixing the root problem, and that's the drought. So that's something that a lot of people need to be aware of, and pray for those guys out there. Also, on the further news, I know hopefully we should have some updated activity from what's going on in Europe firsthand from Dad tomorrow on the show from 3 to 4. What's interesting is I pulled up some numbers here. You know, I had mentioned a week and a half ago about how they had called in to basically the immigration office to find out about Middle Eastern immigration and what it is and how they get, you know, $925 per person as soon as they walk on, you know, the country. They get airport, apartment living, you know, shuttle service, living apartment, bus passes, transportation, social security office, all this stuff. Now we're finding out that it's even more serious than we thought. You know, obviously, just the number they're stating, you know, almost $19 trillion in debt now, which we know it's more along the lines of like $1.2 quadrillion when you add in all the derivatives and overall debt. And majority of Americans are opposed to this mass immigration, especially of the Middle Easterns, especially as we've seen with the Paris attacks. I mean, that was a serious incident that happened, and a lot of it could easily be prevented. This is interesting now. The Office of Refugee Resettlement data analyzed by the Immigration Subcommittee staff of Jeff Sessions, who is chairman of the Subcommittee on Immigration and the National Interest, says that in the fiscal year 2013, 91.4% of refugees from the Middle East who were accepted into the country were receiving taxpayer-funded food stamps. 91%. Meanwhile, the data showed that 71% were receiving Medicaid benefits or refugee medical assistance, while 68% were on cash payment welfare, along with 32% receiving supplemental security income and 19% living in public housing. I don't understand how they think we can continually support everybody in the world and just keep giving everybody free money that's never paid in a dime here. You know, Middle Easterners' arrivals are among the greatest benefactors, receiving welfare at much higher than normal rates. I'm going to repeat that again. I just mentioned earlier about, you know, the children that, you know, the amount of them that are on food stamps. But now the Middle Eastern arrivals are among the greatest benefactors of receiving welfare at much higher than normal rates. Between the fiscal year of 2008 and 2013, the government handed out 308,000 immigrants, handed out green cards to 308,000 immigrants to people from Middle Eastern countries identified by ORR as refugee nations. That designation gives those migrants lawful permanent resident status, meaning they can apply for permanent citizenship after 5 years and also petition the government to allow them to bring in family members. Now, if you look at that number right there, guys, and you start looking back at everything, the numbers I just mentioned, that 91%, 91.4% of the refugees from the Middle East were on food stamps. 73% were on Medicaid benefits or medical assistance. You guys have to understand what this means. This amount of strain that is about to bestow the American public and the American taxpayer and the medical industry is about to be enormous. Just the fact that 308,000 immigrants right there from that time have green card status, meaning they can pretty much get all the benefits from United States citizens, the same exact kind that anybody here can, including 73% of them being on medical benefits. This is going to be a humongous strain on our entire country from top to bottom, and it's only going to get worse the more people that come in. So everybody has to understand this, that this invasion, it's completely organized. Anybody that tells you otherwise hasn't done their research and has not seen what's going on. Even the Czech Republic President Milo Zeman told yesterday's issue of Daily MFD, calling the current migrant wave an organized invasion. And then what they're saying in here is the rest of the world is waking up, speaking up, and ready to defend themselves, and they don't want to keep taking on everybody from all over the world. They simply can't afford to do so. Now even Canada has woken up now, which they agreed to take in 25,000 Syrian refugees by the end of the year. I don't know why. But they have now stated that the immigration flow will only be to single women and families. The CBC News learned that Ottawa will limit their welcome to women and children only, or males that are with their families. Now, granted, they can still get in, but they will not accept any single unoccupied men seeking asylum. which is an extremely good idea considering the fact that almost every single country that has allowed this to happen unchecked has seen massive increases in crime and especially rape. This Islam jihad rape that we've seen so bad in Sweden and a lot of the northern European countries is getting worse and worse and worse. Muslim men rape on non-Muslim women and girls is disproportionately high in countries with growing Muslim minority populations. Remember, rape of infidel women is part of Islamic law and Islamic tradition. The rape capital of Europe, which is Sweden, ranks number 2 on the global list of rape countries. Number 2. And since the increase in the Islam in there, so basically Sweden allowed just unchecked, unfettered Islam immigration, Sweden has increased, rape in Sweden has increased by 1,472%. Based on that projection, 1 in 4 Swedish women will be raped. 1 in 4 now. And what's crazy is the large number of the Muslim rapists are usually under the age of 18 and generally are sitting very, very lightly. The United Kingdom rape is occurring at such a massive scale that women no longer feel safe in taxi cabs. Meanwhile, Muslim child sex trafficking games have become so pervasive that it is estimated that there's over 1 million victims now. And I mean, I got a list here, and I don't even want to go through all this because it's so doggone negative. Holland, Germany, Austria, Denmark. I mean, all these numbers of rapes increasing all over the place. They're almost all, and right here it even says, in Oslo, 10% of females over the age of 15 have been raped by Muslim men. They were guilty. 100% of the rapes against Norwegian women were Muslim men in these instances. So, I mean, it's getting crazy because nobody wants to talk about this. Everybody just wants to go, oh, no, we need to let them in. We need to give them food. We need to give them shelter. No, we need to help people out that need to be helped out. These Muslim men that obviously want to run around and rape everybody. I mean, first off, if make the sentence real quick to stop this. If you get charged of a true rape crime, not one of this consensual sex, he was 16 and she was 15, you get charged with raping a minor because the dad calls the cops on his daughter's boyfriend. Those situations are horrible, all right? I've heard way too many of those. And when it's consensual sex, I mean, obviously we see why this is happening when I talked about the increase in STDs. But when you have these just blatantly Muslim men raping women for no reason whatsoever, non-consensual sex, there should only be one punishment for that, and that's castration. And I know that sounds really harsh and really medieval, and a lot of people are going to go, I can't believe you just said that. That's the only way you'd stop this. If you start sentencing that and you say, well, if you want to act like an animal, we're going to castrate you like an animal, like a dog that won't stop going around and humping all the dogs in the neighborhood, we're going to basically castrate you. You start doing that, you get to see a massive decrease in rapes immediately, I guarantee you. But of course, you know, they'd say that's politically incorrect and inhumane, you couldn't do that, whatever. That's just one way to stop it. I mean, the refugee thing is just getting so out of hand now. 1,300 migrants now have been blocking the international railway from the Greek city to Thessaloniki to Skopje on Monday, demanding that authorities let them into Macedonia and then further into the European Union. And it's crazy, some of the photos on here, they're just straight up blocking the roadway. And Slovenia, Croatia, Serbia, Macedonia now have all limited access to their countries for economic migrants who originate not from Afghanistan, Iraq, or Syria. This move came after the deadly Paris attacks and raised security concerns all over Europe. The EU border agency Frontex recorded over 1.2 million illegal border crossings in the European Union in the first 10 months of 2015. So we'll probably be pretty close to 1.5 million by the end of the year if they don't get this under control somehow. So we'll definitely be keeping an eye out on that as well. Like I said, you know, Ted should be back on the show here shortly and on Monday, and should have some pretty good information for us. So that's pretty much a synopsis of a lot of the information today, guys, from the weekend, from a lot of the information I pulled up. Definitely want you guys to keep an eye out for the GMO foods, especially with this Aqua Advantage fish now with the GMO salmon. I mean, it's not bad enough now that we have the radioactive plume from Fukushima contaminating all the fish and killing almost everything in the Pacific. Now we want to introduce GMO salmon. And like I mentioned, you know, two Fridays ago when the FDA first released that this is going to be widely available and not even labeled, we have no idea where this is going to stop now. This is the frontier has just opened up for GM foods as far as with animal mutations. There's no limit now. Once the FDA approved GMO salmon, there's no stopping it. Everything now is going to go in a completely different direction in society. This is a pivotal point that we're seeing now. So do everything you can. We're doing everything we can. Even this week, we're about to ramp it up and start writing a lot of the Congress guys and the senators and telling them, hey, GMO needs to be labeled. And it's so funny because, like I mentioned earlier, that one article, you know, with the doctor that basically goes on to say, oh, yeah, GMOs don't have any type of health issues. That's why we don't want them labeled, because we think that, you know, it would scare the public away. Yeah, it does scare the public away. When you look at articles on our website, like, do GMOs cause cancer? You can look it up on our website. And they tested all these rats, and every single one of the rats in the test that were given GMO Monsanto Roundup Ready, Roundup Resistant corn, every single one of them grew massive tumors all throughout their body. Massive tumors. You can look at the photos on there. When they did a study with swine that were fed, they dissected them, and their internal organs and their digestive systems were mush. They were mush. They were goo after they died. They couldn't even digest food anymore. Their stomachs and their digestive tracts were so demolished. Look it up online. You can look at the photos of it. Quite nasty, actually. So you got to understand that this stuff does have serious problems. It does pose serious health risk, and it is causing a severe issue with people all around the country with gastrointestinal problems, kidney problems, everything. You name it. That's why one of the first things I tell people when they're having health problems, besides, you know, supplement and everything else, is stop eating GMOs. If it's not certified organic vegetables, you probably need to stay away from specifically corn. Don't even touch anything corn-related, in my opinion, unless you're 100% sure that it's USDA certified organic non-GMO. That's just what you have to start doing, period. You have to start being aware. Read your label. Find out what you're eating. Guys, enjoyed being on with you. Hope you guys got some great information. We'll be back on the air from 3 to 4 tomorrow, live. If you need anything, give us a call up. Check out our website, healthmasters.com. Hope you had a blessed weekend. You guys have a wonderful night.